Holy Father in heaven, we thank you for this day and for all the many blessings that you bestow on us each day, Father. Father, we pray that as we conduct this business today, that we do so in a way that benefits this county, the people of this county that have such a hard time in their life each day. Father, we ask for wisdom and knowledge as we conduct business. We ask that you go with us through this day, that you'll continue to bless us and look over us. In Jesus Christ's holy name we do pray.
Welcome all of you to our meeting this morning. Item number one on our agenda is public comments and our request for information on non-agenda items in accordance with the Open Meetings Act. Like we have two, Teresa Price and Harold Jackson Smith Jr. Ms. Price.
I would like to take this opportunity to commend my staff. First of all, they have done an excellent job in my office, and they are my right hand and my left hand, obviously, one on one side and one on the other. Each have completed some courses that are required by the state. I'd like to start with Lydia Gonzalez. She is our chief deputy at this time, and she has done some paternity or acknowledgments of paternity, and what that is when a father can't be at the birth of their child, they can't put their name on the birth certificate. In order for them to be able to do that, she has to go through specific certifications to present or to perform those duties. And so I am commending her, her completion in that, and Carolyn Norman as well. And I thank you very much for all that you do. Thank you very much. I have Charity Jeffrey. She is over my criminal department, and yes, she does quite a bit of work for us and is busy all the time. She has just finished a course in continuing judicial education, which helps her a lot in some of the situations that we have when people call in and they need answers, and it, obviously they can't do attorney-type questions and answers, but they can help them in every other way that they can in getting them in the right direction. And she learned a wealth of knowledge this time on mental health and probate and civil. So she has completed the continuing education program for the Texas College of Probate Judges. Thank you, Charity. Thank you for appreciating it. They have to go because we got one girl in there. We're sure she's sweating.
Congratulations. Smith.
Good morning, sir. I'd like to address y'all on the Open Policy Act down at the county, at the Sheriff's Office. I sent an Open Policy Act in for some records on some septic systems. I got the bill, paid the bill, but I didn't get the information that I asked for. It's 192 pages of something, and when I asked why I couldn't have the copies of what I asked for, they said it was too sensitive. Not too much sensitive about a septic system, it would be anything wrong with anybody seeing, I don't think. If there's something sensitive about a septic system, I've been doing it 40 years now, and it's just a shitty deal, is all I can tell you. I called Mike Field and Tom Hockaday last week about the three inspectors that we got. I did get a response from that. They did start showing up and inspecting. I don't know if y'all talked to them or coincidence or what it was, but they did get right on the show on it. I appreciate that.
We'll have two, I think. Okay.
Yes, sir. But do we really have two?
We got two that's qualified.
But do we have two at Inspects?
Well, I guess they do. I hadn't been out with them, but we've got two.
I think we've got one. Because that's the only one I've ever seen. That's the only one we can talk to. And being that you said we do have two inspectors, I asked a question a couple of weeks ago about a septic system, and the inspector told me I couldn't talk to him about that. I had to talk to the sheriff about it. Why did I have to talk to the sheriff about a sewer inspector?
I can't answer that.
Has he got a license to talk to me?
Well, I don't think this is any place to get into an argument over
Yes.
Request that you talk to the county attorney to see if there is some legal reason why they've not provided the information that you requested.
No reason.
Do what?
No reason.
No reason what?
That, I mean, why can't, if they can't give them to me and they're not available, why do I gotta pay for them?
Well. That's a good question. I wouldn't think that you should have to pay for them if you're not furnished the documents. But I would direct you to talk to the county attorney's office. Because that's who we funnel all of our other records.
That, they were supposed to went through him first and he okayed it to give it to him, the chain of why it's supposed to happen. But obviously it didn't happen that way. Thank you.
You're welcome. Do we have any other dissipation requests?
Yes, sir.
Item number two, presentation and update on Titus County Cafe Program.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
Morning.
I know I was here just a couple of weeks ago, but wanted to come back and give you an update on the progress that has been made on the three projects in the pass-through program. As you know, as far as 271's concerned, from an environmental standpoint, we have reached the end of all requirements with the finishing of the field work for the archaeological recovery. While the archaeological team will continue to clean and catalog and document artifacts for quite some time, all field work's done, and so we'll continue to get status reports from them over the next probably 6 to 8 months, but it's just their off-site work that they are doing to finish on that. On the, we have requested proposals from a couple of different firms for the archaeological mitigation and data recovery that's going to be required for both the FM2348 project as well as the FM1000 project. Each of those projects has a single site that is has potential data recovery needs on it. Until the team gets out into the field, they won't really know the extent of the data recovery from the base information that was collected during the environmental studies portion of those projects. And so we're not exactly ready to put a team in the field on 2348, although that's one of the key projects from an acquisition standpoint that we've targeted to put on, get as rapidly as possible to allow that team to get in there, do their work, and move out so that there won't be any hindrance to further development of the project. And then, of course, FM1000, we've yet to begin right-of-way acquisition. And so, again, that would be, that one parcel would be a priority project, a parcel for us to acquire in the hopes of getting on site to do further archaeological study and mitigation and data recovery if necessary. I've taken the 271 project off the list from a right-of-way acquisition standpoint because in all practical purposes we have wrapped up with that. We had several condemnation cases at the end of last month, and there are a few more with the same property owner, although they have reached out to offer a settlement on some of the parcels. We can't settle at this point because we still are doing some investigation of contamination of the soil on those properties.
And this is on 271.
On 271, yes, sir. And so as rapidly as we finish the testing of the soil so we can decide how much environmental mitigation and remediation might be required by TCEQ standards. Then we can entertain a full settlement. And I would say, all in all, it that condemnation turned out very well for the county. Maybe they were a little high on a couple of parcels, but in line with others. And so we're going to wait and look at it as a full settlement before we move forward. On 2348, we have 10 parcels that are going to closing. We've reached an agreement with all the property owners and either finishing some title curative work or have sent the parcels over to the title company to close. There are several more counter offers that are in progress, and so that one is moving relatively well. There are at least two parcels that we know will go to condemnation. In fact, one has already been scheduled, and that is the one that's required for this archaeological mitigation. And so it's sort of a critical path, as far as I'm concerned, to get that parcel in and get the team out there. And then, of course, on FM 1000, we've yet to start acquisition, although the appraiser is doing all his initial work to allow letters of intent to go out just as soon as the project receives a finding of no significant impact from federal highways. When I was here last time, I told you about the issue we have on 271, where the property owner has gone in and increased the size of the wetland, you know, significantly more than when that project was first investigated by the environmental team. We reached out to the Corps of Engineers and spoke with the section leader up there, talked about the various options, which, you know, there's really three that are available to the county. One is increase the size of the bridge structure, which is a cost to the project, to get the impacts less than half an acre, to re-permit the project, which is a cost to the project because that's another delay that we don't wish to encounter. And then finally, we gave them all the information, provided them all the documentation to allow them to start an investigation and enforcement action against the property owner. That really is the best course of action for the county, because the Corps can require that property owner to restore the wetland to its original state. The county is not allowed to restore the wetland, but the property owner who disrupted it could. And so that really is the best, you know, course for us. And we have asked for an expedited review and course of action from the Corps so that we can make some determination about how to move forward, because that piece is holding up the design. If it looks to be a long process to get that property owner to restore the wetland to its original state, or at least the permitted state when we did the delineation, then I think we'd have to talk about potentially expanding that bridge structure just so the project continues to move, because we can't sit forever. As anyone who's driven by the project lately can tell, they're making great progress on the clearing contract from both ends, from the south end and from the north end. And so it's not going to be long. That contract, the final date of the contract is the day before Thanksgiving, and I think Howard and Sons is well on a path to finish significantly earlier than the duration of that contract. That'll allow us to begin to move utilities, and we have a lot of utility companies that are ready to go right now, just waiting for the final clearing of the right-of-way to open it up. But then that leads right into the construction contract for the roadway. And so obviously, you know, as one thing builds on the other, this decision about what to do about wetland number two becomes a pretty critical path item, so that the design team can wrap up the 271 design in enough time to get it to TxDOT for their review, to get it to the feds for release for construction. And, you know, we would, I just don't want to see anything disrupt that schedule, so.
Whereabouts on the 271 project is that particular?
That particular parcel, it's on the, I think it's on the south end. Shelton property's on the south end, right? No, the other way. It's the north end, yes. And so.
Here by Western Civil.
It's just past that, yes, sir. That's right.
So like you can see from the road?
Yes. It's where they have relocated the house structure back off of the right of way, back up on the hill. And so it's, you know, so it's an important piece. That's a major creek structure that runs through their drainage structure that runs through there. And that one affects the drainage all through that end of the project. And so, I mean, it's not difficult to expand the bridge to accommodate this larger structure. It's just a more expensive proposition to build a bridge of that size versus what we had originally planned by the size of the wetland 6-8 months ago. And so it's not that, you know, the worst course of action would be to go in and re-permit it, because that would even on an expedited permit track, I believe that would take much more time than any of the first two options. Just from a cost option, the Corps reaching out to the property owner is just the best one for Titus County. And I felt like it was an important one to at least attempt that path, since it's the least cost impact to the county. However, if that cost impact will be affected by a delay of the project because the property owner is not cooperating with the Corps, then we'll look at another option, because we've been trying to get the 271 design in as quickly as possible to give the Atlanta District, which is a smaller district, in there and with a smaller review staff, you know, enough time to review that project before it goes up to Austin and on to the feds. But I think we're going to reach in the next month a very critical moment. So obviously right now we've had people who've gone to sit in Fort Worth, visit with the Corps, you know, provide them everything, explain the situation to them. And I think we had some very positive response back from the people in Fort Worth. And so we'll wait to see this next week, you know, what they've been able to accomplish, and then reevaluate it from there. And so, like I said, I think the most positive thing that's happened in the last few weeks is the tremendous progress that Howard's made on the clearing contract, because, you know, until you get in there and start taking down some of those trees, you really don't know on some of that land what really you're going to encounter. And we've had some extremely favorable weather that's allowed them to work, and they've been very efficient in their progression of the project, with crews coming from both ends, meeting in the middle. We've got a few property owners that are right in the middle of that, of the track on the new alignment, that still need to relocate their fences. One track specifically still has livestock within the new right-of-way. The Property Acquisition Services is working with those property owners to, you know, to encourage them strongly to get those fences out of the way. And certainly on property where there is no livestock, we have the ability to go in, remove the existing fence and set it back. But where there's livestock involved, you know, we have chosen not to move the heavy equipment in and disrupt the livestock operation. Although you could put a gate in and clear all around it, I just don't really want to take that fence down and have livestock along the alignment. So not really. I know how to ride a cutting horse. I can do that, but it's not what we need to do right now. So anyway, that's the update.
I was just going to ask about the funds. When do you anticipate that for FM 1000?
For FM 1000, everything is ready to go. The public hearing summary is drafted. the finding of no significant request is ready. We have had a time getting the court reporter to release the official transcript. She was backed up with several other things, and that's the one piece that we're missing. Can't submit without that. And so she has promised us that this week would be the week that she delivers that to PBS&J, who's the environmental consultant. And so the minute we have that, then we can turn both of those documents into TxDOT for their review, come back, make any comments, address any comments they may have had, so that it can be forwarded on to FHWA. And so I think for a project such as that, once it hits FHWA, it's not going to take very long, but we've got to get the document turned in. And so while we had hoped to have it by October 1st, this delay with the court reporter is causing a little bit of snafu in that. And I would say, you know, maybe the 15th. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward document. The public hearing summary, there were very minimal public comments, and so it shouldn't take that long to address any comments they might have and then address any comments the feds might have so they can issue FONSI. So we're anxious for it.
Are all the salvage vehicles going to have to be removed from the South Jefferson?
That as part of the settlement with the property owner at that parcel was that he would handle the removal of all the material on his site, including the cars. And so he's coming up upon his deadline. We gave him a September 30th deadline to, because in essence he was clearing and grubbing his own parcel, getting everything out, taking the buildings down, removing the pavement that exists out there. And so he's getting ready to hit his time. And I don't know, I know they can move or crush those cars pretty quickly, but when I drove by there this morning, it looked like there's still quite a few out there. I mean, there's a lot gone from the track, there's no doubt about it. He has done some significant work out there, but there is still quite a few to be moved. And we reached out to him last week to remind him of his deadline, and he was well aware of it and says that, don't worry, it's going to be done. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. So any other questions? Thank you.
Item number three, consider possible news from our Commissioner's Court meeting on August 23rd.
Judge, I received by email a corrected copy of the minutes from the 23rd. That was satisfactory for me, and I'm going to make a motion that they be approved as amended in this document right here.
Second.
I think everyone received.
Motion by Commissioner Boggs, seconded by Commissioner Fields, that we approve the minutes from our August 23rd meeting as corrected. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries unanimously. Item number four, open bids, consider and possibly approve the following. Three two-ton units, air conditioning bids. Two three-ton units, eight four-ton units. Five-ton units, one seven-and-a-half-ton unit, all 15 SEER Energy Star rated.
Judge, I have a question. It seems that the grant was, did you ever get resolved the variance between what we went to bid for and what the grant allowed for? The original grant called for 18 units. This is 19 units that have been bid. And I don't know the legality of opening bids on something that has any variance with how the
since it does not meet what we need to do is it's not open any bids or reject all bids, rebid it, reopen it.
You're gonna reject bids, you don't need to open them?
No.
I meant to rebid it. I'm sorry, I misquoted.
But it's my thinking that if we receive a grant for X amount, units and dollars, we don't wanna run the risk, what was the grant, 80,000?
86.
Yeah. We don't wanna risk being disqualified from that grant because it was more or less than what was designated in the grant.
Where did the bid information come from? Did it come from the comptroller's office?
Yes, what was submitted, and then we put it in the paper. And then that's what was submitted, and plus what the bid was back and turned out, and that's what was put in the paper.
Should the proper action be to table this item until we resolve whether or not it complies with the bid requirements?
I think probably would be.
We're gonna have to rebid it.
You think? I think we should find out first if we have to rebid it, and if so, we should. I think probably, did you ever get a return phone call from the?
Well.
I'll make that motion.
Bid act is inaccurate.
Do what?
That bid act is inaccurate.
Is inaccurate?
Inaccurate.
Because of the variance?
Yeah, but it is, I mean, it's a public bid project, it's called for no bid bonds, no payment bonds, no performance bonds, or anything. You know, that's what I do, it's a public project, you gotta have that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if there are any special requirements because it's out of the grant, comptroller's office versus a typical public works project, but we'll make sure.
I move that we table this until we determine how to proceed on the grant.
Second.
Maybe we can tighten up some of our requirements.
Motion by Commissioner Boggs, seconded by Commissioner Hockaday, to table item number four. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries unanimously. Item number five, consider possibly approved proclamation of claim of the week of September 19th through the 25th as Resource Conservation and Development Council Week. We have a copy of that in here. I think it's pretty much true, don't we do this pretty much every year?
Yes, sir.
Is there a motion on the proclamation?
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Harrison, and seconded by Commissioner Hockaday to approve proclamation of claim of the week of September 19th through the 25th as Resource Conservation and Development Council Week. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries unanimously. Item number six is to consider and possibly approve the agreement between Titus County Sheriff's Office and the North Atlantic Expedition Service for holding prisoners in Titus County Jail. Sheriff, you want, or Captain, you want to comment on this?
This is an expedition service that transports prisoners for different counties and different states. They wanna lay over here. They're willing to pay us $50 for every day that those prisoners enter in our custody. The agreement just lines out if one of them has an emergency and we have to take them to the hospital, who's paying for that, and also how the guards are gonna be paid, and that they must have a guard furnished after the first 48 hours.
Do
They do, by the contractor. Yeah, they're responsible for all their medical and everything. We're just holding them for them.
I also like the fact that in the agreement, you said that if they come to the jail at 10 o'clock at night, they still got to pay for the whole day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
if they come at 11:59, that's a day.
Yeah.
Any questions I can answer for you, sir? Okay.
Question?
Talk to bid agreement, please. I make a motion to approve the agreement.
I'll second.
A motion by Commissioner Hockaday. Seconded by Commissioner Boggs that we approve the agreement with North Atlantic Expedition Service. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item number seven, consider possible approval of contract between the Department of State Health Program by the Statistics Unit, Titus County, for the period of 9/1/2010 through 8/31/2012.
My question was, is this a standard, something that we do every year, or is this, because it's often the county clerk's business?
I'm not seeing any documents written on the side, so I don't know.
Did John Mark approve this?
I think that'd be a...
Yeah, that's what...
Because it involves you having to furnish some equipment software to handle the performing agency, which is State Department of Health Services.
I appreciate that.
And give John Mark a chance to look at it, too.
I think he's the one that...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So does somebody want to move the table?
So move till the next meeting.
Who made that motion?
I did.
Second. Motion by Commissioner Boggs, seconded by Commissioner Fields, table item number seven. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item number eight. Consider possible approval of changes to the Titus County Employee Benefit Plan.
Judge, we're not really changing anything in the plan. We're just clarifying some of the language and the confusion of what the intent was of part of the deal. Commissioner Boggs looked at these changes. John Mark came up with them. Is there anything y'all want to change other than what's the language you came up with? Just wanted to be real clear what we meant by retired. After we retired, stay on our insurance, the intent was they had to qualify to be retired from years of service with Titus County to be on our insurance.
As I understand, it doesn't have anything to do with retirement. It has to do with the medical part of the coverage.
If you reach retirement age with the county, which is years of service with Titus County plus your age is more than 75, then you, when you retire, you can continue to have medical insurance with the county until you reach Medicare age. At that point, you no longer can have insurance with us. They clarified to make it clear that you had to have the years of service with
If they offer.
If they offer.
Yep.
So if they're retired and we're paying their insurance and they go to work for somebody else who provides insurance, we're not going to pay their insurance.
That's right.
Right. They go to work worse off if they got to take it. They come off of Myers.
In other words, you can't shop insurance coverages if you unretire. You know, you can't say, well, this doesn't offer as good insurance. That's one of the flip sides of having an awfully good medical care plan is.
Well, of course, the same thing as it does for us. If somebody retired from somewhere else and they come to work at Tyson County, they're going to be on our insurance. If you retire from Tyson County and you go to work for Lone Star Steel, you're going to be on their insurance.
Yeah, but, you know, my concern is, you know, if you're retired, you're retired. How do you unretire?
Well, you can, I mean, you can retire from.
Doesn't mean.
Services or anything.
No, it doesn't mean that you're not working. It's just that you meet the requirements to receive retirement benefits from where you were working. Doesn't mean that you can't work. So I want, you know, my question is, do we have a contractual agreement with that retiree that we may be trying to later on alter because they may work for someone else?
This doesn't have anything to do with the retiring part of it, Judge. This is strictly for medical.
Well, if it's part of the retirement.
It's not part of your retirement.
It's not part of it.
It's separate.
We just put this in a few years ago. Most counties don't even.
Yeah, they don't even have it.
Don't even offer you the opportunity to stay in the insurance.
It's separate part of the retirement.
In fact, very few people, most people can't afford to retire before they reach old enough to, or they're not going to make it work anymore. But that's like, that's a benefit we provide that we're not required to provide. We just do that.
Yeah, I know, but if.
Just like we do vacations.
If we're doing it though, as part of a retirement package.
It's not part of a retirement package. It's part of a healthcare package.
Well, we're talking about retiring, what is that?
That's right, but it's still not the retiree. It's not, it doesn't have anything to do with you retiring. As far as your retirement, drawing your retirement, it's separate. We.
That's a statement. Your retirement.
The state is all. I understand what you're saying, but it's separate and apart from that, some way.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I guess.
You know, I'm just kind of trying to play the devil's advocate here.
Well, I think John Mark and Carl and others looked at it, the different commissioners and stuff, and this is what John Mark came up with. And
we had two attorneys that looked at this and did, that made the decision to do, that this would stand up, so that's all I know.
Basically, what I'm saying, you retire from the county, you receive this benefit, you start getting Medicare, and it's gone anyway. But this is, if you work here for 30, 35 years, and you retire at 60, that's part, it is, I agree with the judge, in some way there, and Tom said he understood that too. It is a benefit, but if you go somewhere else and they offer insurance, then you're going to have to take that insurance wherever you're working.
What I was thinking, my question was, working with somewhere, they go in to pay 100% insurance, we really just couldn't afford it. We almost take that off the 50% and check that you didn't get the one. That's what I thought was surprising.
I don't think it applies to a situation where you have to pay 100% of the premiums. I think it applies if they offer it as a benefit. And having the employee pay 100% of the premiums is not a benefit. Dictionary.
And I think that's a good example of what Carl wrote. If you work here, you retire at 58, you go to Long Star and they offer that as a benefit, you're going to take that insurance.
just to offer insurance as a benefit, yeah.
John Mark basically said this just clarifies it. So.
You know, it only takes two lawyers to disagree. I mean, I'm not saying I disagree.
Mark, you always one of them.
What?
Well, I think John Mark and I know Tim Taylor was involved in this, and they did the research, and I've looked over it. I think it's satisfactory. And I make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Field. Seconded by Mr. Hoppaday to approve changes to the Knox County Employee Benefit Plan. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries unanimously. Item number nine, consider possible approval of family seminar for employees and electricians. A request from Cleve Johnson to attend a course in Sulphur Springs on October 21st. Request from the sheriff's office for Lieutenant McDowell and Deputy Kirkwood to attend Law Enforcement Expo with T. Close, September 29 through October 1 in Dallas. Request from the sheriff's office for Jennifer Baxter and Sue Cruz to attend an advanced law enforcement dispatch class in Frisco, September 2021. Request from the sheriff's office to send Ken Wilson and Eric Baxter to forensic pathology investigation course, September 22nd, 23rd, in Memphis. Request from Judge Dyke's office to James Webster to attend the court personnel seminar in February.
She asked if it was early like that because she says it's hard to get into the
okay.
In the last minute you can't get in.
What department? What department?
Paula Dyke's office, James Webster, to attend the court personnel seminar in Rockwall, February 9th through the 11th of 2011. That's it.
Move to approve.
Second.
I have a question. This one about forensic pathology, are we going to have the facilities to do forensic pathology in the sheriff's department?
Well, what it is chambers, crap, and stuff. We send it in and collect the.
How to collect samples for forensic pathology?
How to use the stuff that we have to equip to collect it. And going back on how the divorce and everything for hospital for instance, the county. Fluids and stuff, body fluids,
sure thought I need to find somebody to loan that money to. If the state turns around and wants it back. Yeah, they probably get lower.
3%. Like so, yeah. Yeah, you're not gonna find 3% money out there.
It's not as big a difference as it used to be.
No, that's true.
I thought it was four.
If it was a house, you might get close, but we're not gonna loan money for somebody to build a house.
Money is available. In fact, some of that money we've had to send back to state because we haven't been able to find anybody that can take the loans out. Bob Jones is in charge of that grant. Every couple of years, we actually file notices from the newspaper that money's available.
That's the end of August.
I talked to Bob the other day, weeks ago, going, he's been looking to find someone. $28,000. That's earned some interest too, so there's more money there.
Well, is this tax money that we've set aside or is this grant money that we've set aside?
This is grant money, the state's in the grant. It's not really grant that you take it back. It's.
But it is actually.
Rick Perry might come get it.
They may have come get it this year.
So it is actually money in the bank, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there's CDs in there. And Rick was making money every month, including the interest, so it's growing.
Any question on the treasurer's report?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Henson moves and Commissioner Fox seconds the motion to include the treasurer's report. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries unanimously. Number 12, we have budget amendments. No budget amendments. Thirteen, sign pay orders, approve paying our bills. We have a motion.
Make a motion to pay our bills.
There a second?
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Cottonday, seconded by Commissioner Henson, pay our bills. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries.
Judge, the one I wanted to mention earlier, called the cat boards. You look at law library funds, it's like $41 down the first page, it's in the hole. Usually, county judge and the county attorney are kind of overseeing this money. Y'all look and see if there's any, we can reduce the number of books we're getting, or maybe go to something to say we'll money that we spend more money than that fund is bringing in, rather than supplementing with general county money. I don't know if it's cheaper if we go online, I don't know.
Well, this also probably includes the district judge's office too, because.
It includes some of his.
I mean, they've got a full set of Southwestern reporters, or statutes and Southwestern reporters.
Well, I just always left that up to y'all to review and look at, but I haven't seen it in quite a while. Last time, anybody looked at that link, it was here. He did it. I think he actually did a few subscriptions he did away with, and did some subscriptions at a different price.
And I think this also includes computer access down at the sheriff's office.
Probably does.
Yeah.
Anyway, y'all look at that and see if there's any money to be saved there.
Where does the revenue come from? I forgot.
There's a fee in criminal cases, but it's not bringing in, as much money as you think.
I just read in the county reporter that there's another fee that we can, if I'm not mistaken, that we can, and Teresa probably knows this better than I. Is there another fee that we can charge that goes strictly to that? It can only be spent on them?
You know, we're doing that new fee. Technology just to allow us to use the online books if you wanted to do that. But as far as the paper books, it comes from revenue from Judge Russell's court and from the district court's court. It's $35 a case. That's quite a bit.
Yeah, it is.
story, Judge. Carl does this to his wife all the time.
Do what?
Carl does this to his wife all the time. That may change.
I'll talk to John Mark.
Just see if there's, I haven't brought anybody's attention in a while, but sometimes, you know, I know who's west, but I think maybe there's another service besides west, and sometimes you can have one's cheaper.
You can also get amendments to the original. Instead of buying a new book every year, you can do amendments to some of them. I don't know if you can do it to all of them, but for some of them, they've got the little packets that go on the back.
They do that every, after every session of the legislature, when the laws change, they send out what they call pocket parts.
Yes.
And they go in the back of the books, and normally, only until it gets to the point in that book that you can't close it, then they'll issue a new parking lot, so.
I think we've been getting hardback every time, so often.
John Marshall, I'm assuming they still take care of like him, but actually.
Well, I think he's trying to build up the law library. You know, that was one of his goals that I remember last year, was he wanted to build up the law library.
Well, there were some things that, I think we have to have the hard copies for the district judge, for the county, and also, if the prisoners request, they want to look at certain book or the law library, we have to furnish that to them.
Well, rule for what, for a while, I have, if we charge the fee, then we have to provide the library. If you didn't charge the fee, and I'm assuming some counties don't charge the fee, then you don't have to provide a library. Since we do charge the fee, we have to provide a library. It's just that the fees we're bringing in are about half of what we're spending. Maybe a little less than that.
You know, I've been working on the personnel manual, just getting the stuff that Texas Association of Counties wanted changed or us to look at in our manual. All I have left are FMLA regulations, and then the technology portion, and a cell phone policy. Do y'all want to go ahead and act on just the employee benefit part of that manual at a date not too far off, and then we'll work on the other, or do you want to wait until the whole thing is done?
I think we'll do it in parts and add the other to the back of it.
Yeah, because that other may take some time to work out, because there's several technology policies that we want to look at if and when we ever get a technology committee together and review those, and then, you know, probably look at the cell phone policy at the same time.
My suggestion would be that I'm assuming we have one that shows what we're changing.
Mm-hmm.
Lined out, underlined, or whatever. Just maybe have a copy available in the judge's office for not only county employees and elected officials to inspect, but if the public wants to inspect,
mm-hmm.
have something available.
Yeah, I can do that, and then the amended version I've got on icon on my computer.
Okay.
Judge, the only thing I'd like to say, out on this west walkway coming into the west door over here,
yeah,
we've got two benches over there. One of them's broke off. The other one is nearly in two. I've looked at these two on this side, and they're not a whole lot better. We need to either scrap those things, replace them with something, or they look pretty hideous out there. And we've got some, you know, our yard taken care of now. Looks pretty good. So, and I'd hate for someone to sit on that that one out there and it break with them, because one of them's already broken off. We need to get those things removed.
Y'all have a crew that can move it?
Yeah.
Or someone?
Mike does.
Yeah.
I can do it.
We can do that. But we need to think about what we're gonna replace them with. I think there ought to be some kind of benches out there.
We need to replace them with something besides what's out.
Something we don't have to paint. It's something that's gonna hold up.
Yeah. And I guess we can tell William to kind of research it. But the benches look good. It's just a matter of they're falling apart. They've been there since 91 or two, and so they're.
Yeah.
Any other comments? One comment I would have here is that there is a dedication of a welcome to Winfield marker in front of the post office in Winfield on 12/30 today. So, anyone might be interested in what? Welcome to Winfield. Okay, thank you everybody for showing up.
Move to adjourn.
I'd like a motion to adjourn.
Mike seconded. I'm not sure who he identified it.
Motion, I second.
Oh, I made the motion. I get credit for the motion. Yeah, Don and Mike.